Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, and welcome to Miracle Outreach Ministries on Sunday. Amen. We praise the Lord, and we're so happy that you were able to join us in the name of Jesus Christ. Heavenly Father, we cover the airways with the blood of Jesus. We ask, Lord, that you blanket us with the blood, saturate us in the blood, fill us with the blood of Jesus to overflowing. Wherever we are, Father, in the name of Jesus, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take authority over all the works of the devil and we bind him in Jesus' name. We receive the blood of Jesus Christ. We receive the blood of Jesus Christ, our Lord. We receive your holy blood. And a special welcome to all of our first-time listeners. We are a Christian internet church and a local church, and we're so glad that you were able to join with us. We also meet every Wednesday and every Friday evening at 6:30 p.m. Eastern Time in the United States of America. Amen? And early in our service, we celebrate Holy Communion. So we invite you now to gather your elements that you might participate with us in the name of Jesus Christ. Saints, there's a lot of warfare going on in the spirit realm these days. There's a lot of oppression being released against Christians. There's a lot of witchcraft coming against the body of Christ. And it's necessary for you to pay particular attention to what the Holy Spirit is showing you. Amen? He's going to bring this heaviness. You feel too heavy to move, too hard to get forward. It's like you can't progress. Some of you are going to become confused and a little disoriented. But know that that's the enemy. You have to rise up and do your warfare. As we remind you frequently, you have to do warfare before you get out of bed. Amen? And surely by the time you get to the bathroom. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we cover everyone, those that are home recuperating, those that stayed home because they didn't want to do any warfare, those that are still in their pajamas and pretending they don't know we're on the air yet. Lord, we ask that you give them a nice tussle in their bed and remind them that you're on the air and it's time to hear what you have to say. We give you praise, glory, and honor. There's two times to praise the Lord, saints, when we feel like it and when we don't, when we want to and when we don't want to, when we need to and when we think we don't need to. We need to praise the Lord at all times. Amen? Amen. So, Father, in the name of Jesus, we want to thank you for your faithfulness and your constant love for us. We want to thank you, Lord, that you never sleep, you never slumber, and you're always watching over your people. You always have our best interests at hand. And from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, we take on the armor of God. Yes, we do. We thank you that our loins are girt about with your spirit of truth. And we put on the breastplate of righteousness. Our feet are shod with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We take on the shield of faith wherewith we shall be able to quench all the fiery darts of the wicked. We put on the helmet of salvation and take the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. According to your word, we thank you, Lord, that you take care of the weary. You put a hedge around us. We're covered by the blood of Jesus, and no weapon formed against us shall be able to prosper. We can do all things through you because you strengthen us, and you are our shepherd, and we shall not want. So we cast down every imagination and every high thing that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring into captivity every thought to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every I don't know, every I don't know what's wrong with me, every thought that says, well, I don't feel like, and something just keeps happening to me. Every thought is bound in Jesus' name. Every thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God, and we bring those thoughts into captivity to the obedience of Jesus Christ. Every unbelief is bound in Jesus' name. Every doubt and every fear is bound in Jesus' name. All intimidation is bound in the name of Jesus Christ. All holding back from God is bound in Jesus' name. All idolatry is bound in the name of Jesus Christ. All witchcraft is bound in the name of Jesus Christ. And, Father, we give you praise. We give you glory. We give you honor. And in the name of Jesus Christ, from our position seated in heavenly places with Christ Jesus, We bind Satan the strong man and all of his evil angels, all evil spirits, all demonic agents, all of his underlings, and we cancel all demonic assignments and satanic agendas against the righteous. We take the territory from Satan in Jesus' name. We bind every form of godliness which denies the power of Jesus Christ. We come into agreement with the Father, Jesus Christ, and the Holy Spirit. We close and seal all portals and all channels and all open doors of access to the enemy. We pull down all demonic thrones. We bind the wicked principalities, powers, rulers of darkness, and all spiritual wickedness in high places. We release the all-consuming fire of God on every ley line, silver cord, and garland. We bind the demons and workers of darkness in the heavenlies, in the bush, and in the deep. We bind murder to its strong man and dethrone them all, chaining them all in eternal chains in darkness, placing them in the hands and custody of the Holy Spirit. We bind the sources of all witchcraft attacks, and we return the attacks onto the heads of the devils that bring them to cling to them for eternity. We bind all trafficking demons, all reporting demons, all watchers, peeps, whisperers, familiar demons, technology demons, all Leviathan spirits, Kundalini spirits, water and marine spirits, all sex devils, all unclean spirits, passive devils, sorcery devils, seducing, womanizing, drone, whoredom devils, controlling spirits, all the voices of the stranger, hypnotic and trance devils, and all of their attacks in Jesus' name. We bind all mystic rituals and their intent. We overturn and empty all cauldrons and chalices upon the heads of the conjurers and magicians, and we bind every order of magic and mystic arts. We bind all Morgellons attacks and return every attack to the senders. We bind the culture of corruption worldwide. We bind all free-flying devils, and we bind all evil spirits which take animal forms, all shape-shifting spirits, trapping them into their shifted form for eternity. We bind each demon responsible for the dominion of sin in the American culture. We bind the prince of the power of the air, and we return his powers to Jesus Christ. We bind the power of the dog. We bind the lord of the flies and his agents, and we place them under the feet of the Lord Jesus. We bind all formations of bullflies and demonic insects. We bind all spiders in their webs, trapping them in their own webs. We bind the transference of evil spirits. We bind Mammon and his agents. We bind all demons sent forth to intimidate, harass, manipulate, lie against, mock, wear down, infect, destroy, spy, sabotage, hinder, besmirch, block, distract, confuse, pervert, stifle, curse, expose, stop, assassinate, divide, confound, attack, reproach, and reduce the effectiveness of the righteous in Christ Jesus. We return and loose these attacks to the senders according to the covenant. We bind all vampire spirits, voodoo, hoodoo, ancient arts, mystic rituals, devils, attending the New World Order, the New Age movement, all false religions, numerology, horoscopes, martial arts, yoga, transcendental meditation, antichrist ideologies and doctrines, Ahab and Jezebelic practices, lewdness, perversions, outworking of vain deceit, death spirits, spirits of destruction, chaos, and mayhem. All oppression, depression, anarchy, and the king of pride. We bind every spirit of pride in Jesus' name. We bind all demonic blood, sexual, financial, animal, and soulish sacrifices. We bind all devils attached to idols and idolatry. We bind every form of rebellion, idolatry, root work, mind control, nature worship, deception, scoffing, error, worldly indoctrination, military spirits, rioting, abuse, all trolls, all fear, combative jealousy, fleshly ambition, the culture of corruption, weariness, betrayal, unfaithfulness, and temptations to sin. And I can really hear the saints praying now. We bind Baal, Beelzebub, Belial, Mammon, Apollyon, Zeus, Neptune, Baphomet, Python, Basilic, and Moloch. We undo the works of all demonic weapons, fireballs, poisons, voodoo pins and dolls, hot and cold spots, and we return their afflictions to the worker of witchcraft and their pagan sources. We bind every spirit that was familiar to the Laodiceans. We bind the pride and foolishness of our own opinions, and we return and loose all the retaliations of the enemy upon his own head according to the scriptures. We bind all traditions rooted in sin. We would denounce and renounce them all. and loose ourselves from them. We thank you, Father, that you have given us power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means harm us. We rejoice with you that our names are written in heaven. We bind every spirit that denies the deity of the Lord Jesus Christ and his blood atonement on the cross of Calvary. Father, we ask for eyes to see, ears to hear, hearts to believe, and minds to receive what the Spirit of God says to the church. We have come, Lord, to loose bands of wickedness, undo heavy burdens, let the oppressed go free, and to break every yoke and chain, to call for justice and plead for truth. Lord, develop in us a love for the truth. Lead us into the truth. Your word is truth. Make us to know the truth, and your truth will make us free. When the enemy comes in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will lift up a standard against him. Lord, we've come to celebrate the scriptures with you and to tread on serpents and scorpions and over all the power of the enemy. And boy, do I hear the saints praying now. We will not turn back from pursuing the enemy until the Godhead does. The Lord Jesus Christ is our commander in chief, whom we serve and obey. And I can really hear the saints praying now. Father, we pray for the peace of Jerusalem and all who are in authority and all true Christians everywhere. And with the sword of the Spirit, we cut ourselves free, circumcised from ourselves, all ungodly soul ties, attachments, covenants, agreements, oaths, your pledges, vows, pacts, and every attachment to the demonic realm. We break the power and we bind the works of every witch, warlock, wizard, Satanist, shaman, and sorcerer. We break powers of every curse, hex, vex, spell, and all wicked sacrifices in the name of Jesus Christ sin against the church. We return it wherever it came from in the name of Jesus Christ according to the covenant. We bind all psychic prayers, thoughts, all witchcraft, sorcery, magic, voodoo, all mind control, jinxes, potions, bewitchments, death and destruction, sickness, pain and torment, incense and candle burning, hoodoo, crystals, woodworks, and every form of witchcraft in the name of Jesus Christ. We bind spirits of bondage, spirits of heaviness, spirits of fear and hate, and we loose the love of God that's found in Christ Jesus our Lord on the people of God. And everybody said amen and amen. Father, we pray for all Christians who allow themselves to be enticed and wooed by the enemy in the name of Jesus. We ask, Father, that you counsel your children according to your word and help us to see what we're doing wrong, that we might overcome in Jesus' name. We pray for the scriptures to come to their memory in times of temptation and trial and testing. We bind every devil that would steal the scriptures from us in Jesus' name. We pray for believers to submit their will unto God in the name of Jesus Christ. We pray for the protection of all intellectual and physical and financial property of the ministry to be secured and safe in Jesus' name. We thank you, Father, for the spiritual growth that we have attained to, asking you to enlarge and increase our hunger and thirst for righteousness. Asking, Father, that you will help us to properly recognize the enemy's tactics against us. Show us, Lord, how to overcome him. Asking you, Father, for more wisdom in our daily lives. Thanking you for solutions and answers to odd situations that we face. Asking for more courage to confront evil when it assails us. Let us not shrink from a challenge that you have prepared for us. Let us not shrink from a challenge that you have prepared us for. Instill in the men, Lord, your valor, your courage, your bravery, your truth, your character. Remove the elements of the world that have polluted your men, Father. Cause them to live lives unto you, not religious, but in your good spirit. Manhood needs a major overhaul, Lord, and we look to you for it in Jesus' name. Amen and amen. And Father, in the name of Jesus Christ, we lift up that young man that's being attacked by the enemy in Jesus' name. We ask, Father, that you release your warring angels to war against the demons that are warring against him. We bind the connection, the work of the demons against the flesh in Jesus' name. We command those spirits to be bound, bound in the mind, bound in the spirit, and bound in his soul and emotions in Jesus' name. We bind you. We send you into the cage in the name of Jesus Christ. You cannot have authority over him. Sin shall not have dominion over him in Jesus' name. We put him, we enwrap him and submerge him under the blood of Jesus Christ. We send those demons back where they came from in Jesus' name. We command you to cease and desist your action against him and never return again. Father, with the sword of the Spirit, we cut him free from every soul tie, ley line, silver cord, garland, chain, fetter, net, yoke, and snare of the devil in Jesus' name. We bind the thoughts in the mind that encourage him into ungodliness in Jesus' name. We bring him subject to the name of Jesus Christ. Every knee shall bow and every tongue shall confess that Jesus Christ is Lord to the glory of God. Bow the knee to Jesus. Bow the knee to Jesus Christ. We command you now to bow your knees to Jesus Christ. We thank you, Father, in the name of Jesus, for your complete authority in that home right now in Jesus' name. No weapon formed against those Christians shall prosper, and every tongue that is risen against them in judgment we bind in Jesus' name. We send back those forces that have come to destroy his life in Jesus' name. We thank you, Lord, for the victory. We thank you for the overcoming victory, Father, in Jesus Christ, our Lord. And we give you praise, we give you glory, and we give you honor. And now we come to the part of our service where we look into our hearts by the light of the Holy Spirit. And we ask the Lord to show us where we're coming short of the glory of God. The Bible says all have sinned and come short of the glory of God. All, not some, all have sinned. Amen. And come short of the glory of God. So, Lord, we ask you to show us now in these moments where we've come short, what we've not done. What is our issue today, Lord? What stands between? What sin? What transgression? What? We thank you for showing us, Lord, because we're here to repent, not just to say I'm sorry, but we're here to change. We're here to sin no more. Father, we repent. We don't just say I'm sorry. We say we're done. We're not doing that anymore. We're turning resolutely now. In our hearts. Thank you for the conviction of the Holy Spirit. Thank you for showing us what's wrong, what's blocking the flow. We thank you, Lord, for touching our hearts, for touching our minds, for touching our spirits. And we thank you for the forgiveness. The Bible says when we confess our faults, you're faithful and just to forgive us and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. We thank you for that blessing, Lord. We thank you for forgiveness for our sins. We thank you, Lord, for showing us that we went off course, that we veered from the path that you have for us. Thank you for bringing us back to the place where we are in right standing with you, Lord. And we give you praise, glory, and honor. For I have received of the Lord that which also I delivered unto you, that the Lord Jesus, the same night in which he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he brake it and said, thank you, Lord, for the bread. Take, eat. This is my body, which is broken for you. This do in remembrance of me. Partake of the bread. After the same manner also, he took the cup when he had supped, saying, This cup is the New Testament in my blood. This do ye as often as you drink it in remembrance of me. We thank you, Lord, and we do this in remembrance of you. Partake of the cup.
Amen.
For as often as you eat this bread and drink this cup, you do show the Lord's death till he come. Wherefore, whosoever shall eat this bread and drink this cup of the Lord unworthily shall be guilty of the body and blood of the Lord. But let a man examine himself, and so let him eat of that bread and drink of that cup. For he that eateth and drinketh unworthily eateth and drinketh damnation to himself, not discerning the Lord's body. For this cause many are weak and sickly among you, and many sleep. For if we would judge ourselves, we should not be judged. But when we are judged, we are chastened of the Lord, that we should not be condemned with the world. Amen?
Amen.
So we want to thank the Lord for the opportunity to come before him and to have correction made in our lives, for truth to come forward, that we might live lives pleasing unto him. Amen? We want to live lives that are pleasing to the Lord. It's important to us. It's not just something to do. It's about living. It's also about the fact that we actually do want to go to heaven when we die.
Amen.
I don't know anybody here that wants to go. Is there anyone here that wants to go to hell? Okay, doesn't seem to be anybody here. I would hope that there's nobody over the air that wants to go to hell. That's just not the place to be. Take my word for it, it is not the place to be. Praise God. So, because of that, we're going to talk today about our concern for others. That's right. We're going to talk today about our concern for others. That means that at some point we must get our eyes off of ourselves. Amen?
For that. Would you give them some Bibles, please? Some Bibles.
You okay?
Yeah.
Okay. We'll pray for Brother Bill's knee in a minute. Amen.
Yeah.
In Philippians chapter 2, beginning with verse 2, fulfill ye my joy, that ye be like-minded, having the same love, being of one accord, of one mind. Well, the Lord wants joy in us because the kingdom of God is righteousness, peace, and joy in the Holy Ghost. He wants us to think like him. He wants us to love like him. He wants us to walk in unity, and he wants us to have the same mind, the mind of Christ. Let nothing be done through strife or vainglory, but in lowliness of mind, let each esteem or value other better than themselves. Now, I realize this is contrary, to our culture. For us to esteem or value other people more than ourselves. But this is a commandment in Scripture. It's not a suggestion from God. It's a command. We are called to live our lives clothed in humility. Humility means that self is not first. Self is not first. Self can't be first because God has to be first. And anytime God is not first, we are in idolatry. When the motives of our lives do not emanate from the Lord, we have transgressed. We are in sin. When the real reason that we're doing something isn't because this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning us, it's all about us, or it's all about what we want to do, we're getting really close to something wrong. It's called lawlessness. It's called iniquity. It's called self-will. And God does not bless that. Amen? If your real reason for wanting to join with these group of friends is because you want to be seen and you want to be noticed, know that God will not bless your motives. If your real reason is because you're trying to impress someone else, know that God will not bless your motives. He will not bless what you're doing. In fact, it will cause his disfavor to fall upon you. You see, if you have decided some course of action and it's not rooted and grounded in Jesus Christ, then what are you doing? You're using your body, your mind, your emotions, your abilities to serve another spirit other than God. So tell me, what is it that we do that God has not told us to do, that he has not ordained for us to do, that we decide to do, that he's going to bless just because we did it? You see, to walk outside of the will of God for our lives is a very serious thing. It's extremely serious. It could cause you your life. It's actually a life and death situation. It's important to do the will of God. It's important to fulfill God's call on your life and not just what you want to do. You see, you were sent into the earth for a reason, for a purpose. God had a purpose. You were not born by accident. No matter what anyone thinks or says, it's not an accident that you are here. God has deliberate purpose in having you in the earth. And he has a plan for you to live. You say, well, I don't know what the plan is. Well, you walk it out on a daily basis. He doesn't get a manual with volumes and volumes of the will of God. He gives you one Bible, and it's in there. And the individual instructions come as you follow the Lord day by day. The Bible says in Philippians 2:13 that he causes us to will and to do of his good pleasure. We have come to please God, not to please ourselves. So it says clearly that in lowliness of mind, not haughtiness, not arrogance, not self-will, not pride, not rebellion, but in lowliness of mind, let each of us value the others better than self. Look not every man on his own things, but every man also on the things of others. So that pretty much eliminates selfishness and self-centeredness. It eliminates self-conceit. There is no day that it will be all about self anymore, because walking in the flesh is merely pleasing self and not God. So, in Jonah chapter 4, Jonah chapter 4. Well, let me correct this, Lord. Yeah. Let me correct this. You bear with me just a moment. I'll have this straightened out in just a moment. Amen. Praise the Lord. Thank you. In Jonah chapter 4. Amen. There. All right. Beginning with verse 10. In our recent fast, one of our readings was the book of Jonah. So everyone should be familiar with this passage. In chapter 4 of that book, we find the conversation between God and Jonah. Jonah was upset with God because of God's empathy and compassion on a depraved people. Depraved. Depraved means these people were so bad off, they lived in so much sin, they couldn't figure out the difference between good and bad. They're that bad off. We know some people like that, don't we? He thought, God thought at one point to destroy them. But then when the people repented after the preaching of Jonah, God held off on that decision. You see, God can withhold decisions. Decisions to do us good and decisions to deal with us as we actually deserve. Amen?
Amen.
If so, God attempted to engage Jonah with the gourd, but Jonah refused. You see, there was a gourd that grew up to give Jonah some comfort. And then later on, a worm came and ate it and it disappeared. But Jonah was still sitting there having a bad attitude day. And God was trying to get his prophet into the right frame of mind, get his heart back in the right place. So you see, God comes to deal with us when we are out of sorts, as we call it, when we're having a bad attitude or an attitude that's not his attitude. We don't see things quite God's way. So God plainly said, "Is it right for you to be angry, Jonah? Why shouldn't I show compassion on 120,000 persons who can't discern and don't know their right from their left and are in complete spiritual darkness? Why shouldn't I have mercy on them? After you've preached to them the way I've asked you to, and they've responded rightly by repenting, even the nursing babies had to fast. The king called for a fast, and everybody had to fast, old, young, newborn as well. Everyone. So they're responding properly to God's admonition. So why should God destroy them after they're attempting to do right? So, Jonah, what are you upset about? Jonah's idea was, because I went and told them all that, and I knew what you were going to do. I knew that the minute they showed the slightest sign, you weren't going to do it. And I'm sitting here having a bad attitude about it. Well, you see, saints, there are times when we are so right that we can't see our own wrong. There are times when we are so right about everything that we can't see our own shortcomings. We need our God to adjust us so that we can walk in his spirit rather than our own assessment of the situation. There is always more to it than what we are able to see. That's right. In 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 12, "For now we see through a glass darkly, but then face to face. Now we know in part." See, we don't know it all now. We know what we know. And that's all that we know. But God knows it all. We must learn to set our ideas and opinions aside so that we can be in agreement with God. You know, we always talk about the scripture in Amos 3:3. Two can't walk together lest they be agreed. Well, if we're going to walk with God, walk in his spirit, walk in his love, walk in his peace, walk in his joy, at some point we have to come into agreement with him. Amen? We have to come into agreement with him. And sometimes our opinions get in the way. And for those of us who are a little more mature in the Lord, we will go to the Lord and quote scripture to him. And as he frequently says to me, I am the word of God. Amen? There's no scripture you're going to quote to him that he is not. So you see, there comes a time when we just have to sit and listen to what God has to say and receive him because he's right. That's part of being God. He's always right. He's never wrong. We're the humans. He's God. That's the way it is. Amen? Romans chapter 12, verse 15 says, rejoice with them that do rejoice and weep with them that weep. So when our brethren in Christ are rejoicing, we celebrate with them. And when they have weeping and sorrow, we show empathy and compassion for them, don't we? Because this is what we ought to do. God has called us to have his concern and his caring in our hearts for others, and especially for the family of God, the body of Christ. In Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, Matthew chapter 7, verse 12, therefore, all things whatsoever ye would do that men should do to you, do ye even so to them. For this is the law and the prophets. God said, whatever you would have people do for you, this is what you ought to do for them. Amen? We've heard this growing up. We know this. In Luke chapter 6, verse 31, and as you would that men should do to you, do ye also to them likewise. That's what we should do. If we want others to ignore us, then I suppose we'll walk around ignoring others, but I don't think that's what we want. We want to receive love from every person. So we should express that love. In Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, Galatians chapter 6 and verse 10, as we there have therefore opportunity, that means you got a chance to do something, let us do good unto all men. That's right. When you have the opportunity to do good, do it, especially unto them who are of the household of faith, especially other Christians, especially the body of Christ, especially in your church family. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. Mark chapter 12, verse 28. Mark chapter 12, beginning with verse 28. And one of the scribes came to Jesus, and having heard them reasoning together and perceiving that he had answered them well, asked him, which is the first commandment of all? And Jesus answered him, the first of all the commandments is, hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart. So that doesn't leave room in your heart for not loving God at any moment. And with all your soul, your mind, your will, your emotions, all of it. And with all your mind, your whole mind. So how is it you get to have demonic thoughts if you're going to love God with all of your mind? Well, when the demonic thought comes, you exercise 2 Corinthians 10 and 5. You cast down those imaginations and every high thought that exalts itself against the knowledge of God. And you bring those thoughts captive to the obedience of Jesus Christ. And you don't wait to the next day to do it. No, you do it immediately. Amen. You do it immediately. And with all thy strength. That means give it all you've got. Whatever you've got, give it into loving God. This is the first commandment. And the second is like, namely this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. There is none other commandment greater than these.
Amen.
And the scribe said unto him, well, master, thou hast said the truth. Well, he acknowledged that Jesus told the truth. For there is one God, and there is none other but he. And to love him with all the heart, and with all the understanding, and with all the soul, and with all the strength, and to love his neighbor as himself is more than all whole burnt offerings and sacrifices. So if we're not loving God, and if we're not loving our neighbor, we're not walking in the Spirit of God. Amen? Amen. Galatians chapter 5. Galatians chapter 5, as soon as I get there, beginning at verse 13. Galatians chapter 5, beginning at verse 13. For brethren, ye have been called unto liberty. Only use not liberty for an occasion to the flesh, but by love serve one another. So part of the love of God that we are to express is through serving one another, especially the household of faith, especially other Christians, especially in your church family. It's not just about the people who are related to you in the natural. It's about your church family. Amen. We're to serve one another. Verse 14. For all the law is fulfilled in one word, even in this. Thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. Amen? Amen. I'm glad we're in agreement. Amen. In 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. 1 Peter chapter 4, beginning with verse 7. But the end of all things is at hand. Be ye therefore sober. That means you got to be paying attention. And watch unto prayer. That means wherever a situation occurs where prayer should be offered, prayer should be offered. You're driving down the street and here comes an ambulance followed by a fire engine, followed by the police. Well, you know where they're going. Something's happened at somebody's house or some other place. It's time for you to plead the blood. It's time for you to bind the devil. It's time for you to ask the Lord to have mercy. Amen?
Amen?
Amen. And above all things, have fervent charity among yourselves, for charity or love shall cover the multitude of sins. Somebody does something that's annoying to you, you should have enough love in your heart to overlook that thing, to step around that thing, to forgive that thing, to pray for that person, and pray that you not enter into offense. Amen? That God can continue to bless you. Use hospitality one to another without grudging, without begrudging. For instance, if it's your opportunity to be a blessing, and you know that your sister likes cheesecake, then why would you begrudge getting her cheesecake? Why would you stand there and say, well, what are you going to do for me? That's the world. That's not the love of God that's in Christ Jesus. Freely you have received, freely give. Amen? Praise God. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. Ephesians chapter 3, verse 17. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That Christ may dwell in your hearts by faith. That ye, being rooted and grounded in love. Rooted and grounded in love. What does that mean? It means just like the mighty oak tree. It takes up ground, but underneath the ground are roots. Palm trees have deep roots. They go straight down. They take hold of the ground. And that's how we're supposed to be in the love of God. Our roots are supposed to go deep in the love of God, so deep that that ground of the love of God holds us when the wind comes to sway and push and knock us over. We're so rooted that we spring right back up. We're so rooted that we spread out arms and grow upward to give God praise and glory. That's how we're supposed to be. So immersed in the love of God that no matter what comes, we're survivors and we thrive. We go on to war and live and love and serve another day. Amen? In Colossians chapter 3, verse 14, and above all these things, put on charity, put on love. Wrap yourself up in the love of God, which is the bond of perfectness. Perfectness is not putting on your clothes just right so that there's nothing out of line. No, perfectness is maturity in God. You're acting more and more and more like God and less of what you used to be. 1 Corinthians chapter 13, verse 13. And now abideth faith, hope, charity, these three. But the greatest of these is charity. The greatest of these is love. Amen? Amen. So, in Galatians 5, 13 and 14, we realize that we're supposed to not use this liberty we have in Christ just for help ourselves, just to please self, but we're to use this love to serve one another and to love our neighbor as ourselves. We just learned that. That's important because we need it. God calls his family to put his love in us on display. Over the centuries, Christians have founded righteous causes, built hospitals and schools, and supported society by demonstrating the love of God to people everywhere. Missions have been built, all kinds of organizations, all kinds of institutions that are still standing have been established because of the love of God that's in people. You see, J.C. Penney was a man who was a Christian, and he tithed. You didn't know that. Well, he did. He trusted God. He obeyed God. And many, 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 many years after he has gone, J.C. Penney still exists. Amen. He was a tither. You see, the tither receives the blessing that God rebukes the devourer. And when they went into hard times, as many other retail outlets did, I reminded the Lord. I said, Lord, that man was a tither. And the devourer is to be rebuked off of the works of his hand. So you see, saints, it matters when you obey God. The blessings of your life are to grow up like a huge bay tree for all those who need to come rest on those limbs and be supported and upheld, even years after you've already gone to the grave and gone home. Your life is supposed to be that fruitful. Amen?
Amen.
It's not just about you. It's about those coming behind you as well. And the early Christians knew that and understood it well, that they weren't going through the hard times they were going through just for them. It was also about everyone that was coming behind them. The slaves, when they were brought to America, clearly understood that they had to so order their lives that their children and their children's children and their children's children after them had to have a path to walk down. They had to see how you make it through here. They got to see how to overcome. So they lived their lives in such a way that those that came behind them would have a heritage. And we've got to get that mindset. It's not about me. It's not about me. It's about what happens once I'm gone. Others have to reap where I have sown. So if I don't sow, what can they reap? You don't just live your Christianity for you.
Amen.
It affects other people in other times, in other seasons. My grandmother went to church. They took her to church when she was three. Well, I'm here today. You see, it makes a difference how you live your life on an everyday basis. We need to remember that when things are out of sort, because things can be out of sort anytime, but God is faithful. Our Lord calls for us to allow his mercy to flow through our own lives. We cannot say that we know the Lord and have been saved by him if we will not allow this grace to flow through us to others. It has to flow through us to others. Let's go to 1 John. 1 John chapter 4. 1 John chapter 4, and we're beginning with verse 19. 1 John chapter 4, beginning with verse 19. We love him because he first loved us. And if a man say, I love God, and hateth his brother, he is a liar. For he that loveth not his brother, whom he hath seen, how can he love God, whom he hath not seen? How are you going to love a God you've never laid natural eyes on, but the people right in front of you that are made in his image and likeness, you can't find it in your heart to love them? How is that going to work? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loveth God love his brother also. That's right. Not just your natural biological one, them too, but all of the people that God placed on the earth. Amen. We're supposed to be the ones who care. In John chapter 13, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35, the Gospel of John, chapter 13, verse 35, by this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if you have love one to another. This is how people know you've been born of God. It's not because you walk around with a Bible under your arm and say, I go to church on Sundays, or I go to church whenever you do. It's because they see the love of God in you. They see God in you. Micah chapter 6, verse 8. Micah chapter 6 and verse 8. He has showed thee, O man, what is good, and what does God require of thee, but to do justly and to love mercy and to walk humbly with thy God. So it's no way you can walk with God and show people the love of God and people know that God has changed you if you're walking around in pride, if you have no compassion for people, if you're doing unjust and evil and wicked things to people. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Proverbs chapter 3, beginning with verse 1. Amen. My son, forget not my law, but let thine heart keep my commandments. So where are his commandments supposed to be? In our heart. Why? So that we won't sin against him. That's why. For length of days and long life and peace shall they add to thee. The word of God adds to our life a longer life, peace, and length of day. Remember, there was the king who had done a pretty good job before God, but the Lord told him, get ready to die. So he turned his face to the wall and said, Lord, I've done what you've asked me to do. And the Lord had mercy on him and gave him 15 more years. You see, the day the doctor says, you're going to die, you know, you need to go home and get your stuff together because you've only got 2 more months. You turn your face to the wall and say, Lord Jesus, I've obeyed you. I've done what you called me to do. I've changed. I'm not the same person I used to be. I've become more and more like you. I didn't shirk on you. When Job went through his trouble, his contention with the Lord is, hey, I've been doing what you tell me to do. If I had done this and this and this and this, I could understand this happening to me. But that's not who I've been. I've lived a righteous life before you, in spite of what my friends are saying about me. You ought to be able to have that testimony, that no matter what anybody says, you know you obeyed the word of God. Praise God. You did what God has called you into the earth to do. Let not mercy and truth forsake thee. Don't let mercy get up and leave you and the truth leave you. You don't sit there in the dark. Bind them about thy neck. Write them upon where? The table of thine heart. So shalt thou find favor and good understanding in the sight of God and man. It's important. You want to have favor before people? Well, the Bible tells you in those first 3 scriptures how to get there. Praise the Lord. Love is kind. God's love displays his kindness, the quality, disposition, inclination, willingness to act in sympathetic, compassionate, gentle, and a generous manner toward others. God wants this in his people. In Luke chapter 10, beginning with verse 25, we have this passage that demonstrates, that shows us what God is talking about. And behold, a certain lawyer stood up and tempted him, saying, Master, what shall I do to inherit eternal life? And he said unto him, what is written in the law? See, he punched him right back to the word of God, sent him right back there. How readest thou? So you have to read it. You can't take your Bible and stick it in a back drawer and think you're going to be able to obey God that way. You actually have to give attention to reading. You got to know what the word said. And he answering said, thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, and with all thy strength, and with all thy mind, and thy neighbor as thyself. And he said unto him, thou hast answered right. This do, and thou shalt live. But he, willing to justify himself, said unto Jesus, and who is my neighbor? And Jesus answering and said, a certain man went down from Jerusalem to Jericho and fell among thieves, which stripped him of his raiment, of his clothing, and wounded him. They beat him up and departed, leaving him half dead. And by chance, there came down a certain priest that way. Here comes the clergy. And when he saw him, he passed by on the other side. So he saw this man in tragedy and in a bad way. And so rather than go see about the man, he moved to the other side of the road and just kept going. Well, now that's not the way to handle it. And likewise, a Levite. Yes, sir, I heard that. Maybe he thought that he didn't have time. He was busy to an appointment, and he couldn't stop to help anybody. Maybe he thought that, but he was wrong. Amen? Thank you, Holy Spirit. And likewise, a Levite, one of the elders in the church, when he was at the place, came and looked on him. He came actually over and looked at the man. He didn't even offer his hand and passed by on the other side. He went to the other side too. Maybe he was on his way to a deacon's meeting. I hope not. But a certain Samaritan. Now, Samaritans were these people. They were half-breeds, as they were called back then. And they were not in the highest echelons of Jewish society, shall we say. As he journeyed, he came where he was. And when he saw him, he had compassion on him. And he went to him and took his time and bound up his wounds, pouring in oil and wine. He administered first aid and set him on his own beast. He put him right inside the back seat of his brand new Mercedes-Benz sedan and brought him to an inn. He didn't take him to the Corner Creek Motel. No, he brought him to the Sheraton and took care of him. And on the morrow, the man had to go about his business. When he departed, he took out 2 pence. He gave the people at the front desk a credit card that they could use to charge up the man's charge, and gave them to the host and said unto him, take care of him. And whatsoever thou spendest more, when I come again, I will repay thee. Amen? And evidently the man had good credit, so he could do that. That's a reason for having good credit. Which now of these three, thinkest thou, was neighbor unto him that fell among the thieves? And he said, he that showed mercy on him. Then said Jesus unto him, and this is his message to us today, go and do thou likewise. Go and do thou likewise. Miracle, I got something to tell you today, straight from the heart of God. Amen? Straight from the heart of God. Miracle Outreach Ministry is a legacy of God's love. With God's miracle-working power of love, we reach out to others to give aid, support, teaching, healing, love, and mercy to those in need of the love of God. Many of you have written to me to tell me that God directed you to this ministry. Well, since this is so, he sent you here to become a partaker of this work. Partakers participate in the work that God has charged this ministry with. You see, you are blessed when you receive of the ministry. You should also be a blessing to the ministry. I want to publicly thank all of you who cheerfully pay tithes and give offering. You are a blessing to us, and you reflect the obedience that the Lord is developing in us. I also want to thank those who responded to the event of Christmas and my birthday celebration which also serves as our pastor's appreciation event. But saints, there is more that the Lord expects of us. In Matthew chapter 11, verse 10, Jesus said to us all, heal the sick, cleanse the lepers, raise the dead, cast out devils. Freely ye have received, freely give. We are a people who have freely received of the love of God. We should freely give the love of God. We are also to give to the necessity of the saints. That's right. That's what Christians do. That's how we obey God. We give to the necessity of the saints. And when Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, Romans chapter 12, beginning with verse 12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing instant in prayer, distributing to the necessity of saints, given to hospitality. That's our charge. We are exceeding grateful to those who have joined us on a daily basis in the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room to sign in, to pray for your brethren in Christ, and to type your agreement in prayer. This is well-pleasing in the Lord. For those who are not aware, even as you seek prayer for your own needs, you are to pray for others' needs as well. Participation in the Global Prayer Room on a daily basis is a major priority as a partaker of the grace that is upon this ministry. We pray together, we fast together, we come together in fellowship in His Word, and we love one another.
Amen.
That love is more than a feeling. It has hands and feet to it. It is a practical love that does for the brethren. In Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, Philippians chapter 4, beginning with verse 11, not that I speak in respect of want, for I have learned in whatsoever state I am, therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased, and I know how to abound. Everywhere and in all things, I am instructed both to be full and to be hungry, both to abound and to suffer need. I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me. Notwithstanding, ye have well done that ye did communicate with my affliction. Now, ye Philippians, know also that in the beginning of the gospel, when I departed from Macedonia, no church communicated with me as concerning giving and receiving, but ye only. For even in Thessalonica, ye sent once and again unto my necessity, not because I desire a gift, but I desire fruit that may abound to your account. But I have all and abound. I am full and having received of Epaphroditus the things which were sent from you, an odor of a sweet smell, a sacrifice acceptable, well-pleasing to God. But my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. So you see, Paul here is saying that he knows how to survive. He knows how to survive. He knows how to do with less, and he knows how to do with that actually takes care of the need and more. He knows how to be full, how to be hungry, how to abound, how to suffer need. All Christians need to know these things. Amen? And he says, I can do it all through Christ strengthening me. I can do all of it. However, you've done well because you gave to me in my affliction. You took care of me. He said, from the time I left Macedonia, out of all these churches that I have established and founded, no church did anything for me concerning giving and receiving but you. You're the only one. Even when I went to Thessalonica, you sent to me more than one time to take care of my needs. You cared for me. You took care of me. You saw to it that what I needed, I had. Not because I was desiring a gift from you, but because I want you to be fruitful in the Lord. I want you to have fruit. I want you to grow. He said, I have all. I'm abounding. I'm full. I receive the things that you sent to me. And I want you to know, before the throne of God, these things are a sweet smell and an acceptable sacrifice. What you've done is well-pleasing to the Lord. So now, after all of that, he releases a blessing on the people at the church in Philippi. This is how that blessing comes into Scripture. They gave, and God gave back to them. We love to quote this Scripture, this verse 19. But do we actually want to do what they did in order that that blessing came upon them? The blessing that he released is, but my God shall supply all your needs according to his riches in glory by Christ Jesus. You see, they gave, and they gave continually. They took care of the man of God. They treasured the ministry that God had released to them. Amen?
Amen.
It's important that we learn to do this.
Amen.
It's very important. We all like to quote that 19th verse, but we need to focus our attention on the preceding verses. Paul wasn't begging. Amen? He had given of himself to each of the churches that was founded under his apostleship. But he had needs himself, and it was the church at Philippi that responded to his needs. Why? Because they allowed the Lord to touch their hearts with love, with care, with concern, with generosity, with compassion, and humility. They saw the need to serve Paul. They saw the need to worship God through serving Paul. Likewise, miracle, we should see the need to serve our brethren in this ministry. We do not harp on money in this ministry. We are not gold diggers. We are not digging in your pockets every time you hear from us. In fact, sometimes we forget to pray for the offering. We are about the gospel of the Lord Jesus Christ, and I believe that you know this already.
Amen.
However, when we have an obvious need, we should respond to the need that God has placed in our care. Amen?
Amen.
We give care to everyone's privacy in this ministry, and I want you to know that up front. As you are very aware, God blessed us with two baby boys, and with that blessing comes responsibility. When people come to the Lord and depart from serving Satan, they learn that they must forsake family ties in order to live for Jesus. That means that the usual support that is expected from the natural family is no longer there. We are their family. You and I, the family of God, is their family. It is our place to respond to the needs of this blessing. I want to praise and thank those of you who have emailed me at gproom@outlook.com to ask how you could be a blessing. Your generosity and love has been forwarded to the recipient. However, Miracle, I can still count on one hand those who have stepped forward. And I only have five fingers on one hand. That's not right. There are many more of us than this. What happened? What happened? Romans 5:5 tells us that the love of God is shed abroad in our hearts by the Holy Spirit, which is given unto us. It says that God's love has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Ghost. So, saints, where is your love? Where is your generous giving on behalf of our newborn? What has short-circuited your faith? One of our mothers has a hearing tomorrow about 10 a.m. Are you praying for her to have God's favor? Are you praying for a judge who is moved upon by God Almighty himself? Are you praying for the safety and well-being of her children to be present as she goes forth to do the will of God in court concerning the custody of her children, even her newborn? Now, if you've been listening for the past 2 weeks, if you've been going up into the Global Prayer Warriors prayer room, you have some idea of what I'm talking about. The leadership has been fasting this weekend in addition to our prayers concerning this matter. And as you know, both of our newborns were born under stressful and duress in their natural situation. So it behooves us to love and to care and to share at this time. Saints, there is more that God expects of us. Let's go over to Matthew chapter 10. Matthew, the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 10, okay, not too far, and verse 8. Matthew chapter 10, verse 8. It says still, it hasn't changed from the minute you read it a little while ago, freely you have received, freely give. God means it. Amen? The words on the page didn't change. So, saints, what are we doing about this? What are we doing? What are we doing? What are we doing? Are we praying that no one comes to kidnap the baby while she's at the court hearing? Have you given financially to the necessity of these things? In Matthew chapter 25 and verse 40, the word says, "And the King of kings and the Lord of lords shall answer and say unto them, Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as you have done it unto one of the least of these my brethren, you have done it unto me." You know, when Jesus was born, the wise men came with what? Gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Well, we're not asking you to cough up gold, frankincense, and myrrh. Amen? In Matthew 25, verse 45, Jesus says, "Verily I say unto you, inasmuch as ye did it not to one of the least of these, ye did it not to me." Mm-hmm. Amen? Amen. So what are we waiting for? What are we waiting for? In James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. James chapter 2, beginning with verse 14. What doth it profit, my brethren, though a man say he hath faith and have not worked? Can faith save him? If a brother or sister be naked and destitute of food, and one of you say unto them, depart in peace, be warmed and filled, notwithstanding ye give them not those things which are needful to the body, what doth it profit? Even so faith, if it hath not works, is dead, being alone. So, you say you love God. You say you love the brethren. Well, what have you done about it lately? Saints, Jesus is watching us. Our Heavenly Father is watching us, just as he did in Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. Luke chapter 21, beginning with verse 1. And he looked up and saw the rich men casting their gifts into the treasury. And he saw also a certain poor widow casting in thither two mites. And he said, of a truth, I say unto you, that this poor widow hath cast in more than they all. For all these have of their abundance cast in unto the offerings of God. But she of her penury hath cast in all the living that she has. God doesn't measure it by the dollar amount or how many cents. He looks at how much you got left over after you think you've done something and poke your chest out. If so, no one is asking for your rent money, light bill, car payment, or any such thing. We don't do that here. And you know that. No one is asking you to break into your piggy bank. Not a soul. But I am saying, as your pastor, to allow God's love to lead you to do your part. God's partakers do their part. Amen? In 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, 2 Corinthians chapter 9, verse 7, every man, according as he has purposed in his heart, so let him give, not grudgingly or of necessity, for God loveth a cheerful giver. Amen? Amen. So, saints, this is what Pastor is asking. Pastor is asking that you take your heart and you take your funds before the throne of God. And you determine whether you serve God or if you serve mammon. The second thing Pastor is asking you to do, if you so choose to be a part of this, ask the Lord what your part is. What would God have you do? And when you have acquired that information, Pastor asks that you email her at gproom@outlook.com and ask her how to go about doing what you and the Lord have agreed on. And Pastor will respond directly to you and give you proper instruction. Amen. Other people have gone before you and done this, and the recipients have received the blessings and the gifts that were designated for them. So Pastor did not say, text Brother Bill all day and all night. Pastor did not say, ask a question in MIC chat room. Pastor said, take your heart and your wallet before the throne of God and find out if you truly serve God or man, because you cannot serve both. And once you have determined that before the throne of God, to ask your Heavenly Father, what is your part? And whatever you and the Lord have determined, you email Pastor at gproom@outlook.com and ask for further instruction. And Pastor will respond to your email and give you the instructions that God would have you to use. Amen?
Amen.
Amen. And those are the instructions of the Lord. Praise the Lord for his word. Stand for the benediction. Now our Lord Jesus Christ himself, and God, even our Father, which hath loved us and hath given us everlasting consolation and good hope through grace, comfort your hearts and establish you in every good word and work in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Father, we thank you for sealing this word in the hearts of your people. Amen. In Jesus' name. God bless you. Pastor loves you and is looking forward to hearing from you very soon. Amen. Amen.
Somehow.